Grace, greetings, and welcome to the DDP for the 26th of August. Glad you're with me in the 7th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Verses 5 and 6, we got to right up to the edge of this yesterday at the end of the podcast and sort of start running out of time. Not that we really have a time limit, but I only like cover so much in one day. I do this a lot, so I try to break it up for my own sake. Do not deprive one another except with consent for a time. The deprivation spoken of in verse 5 is sexual, and it's between marriage partners. Let's make sure we understand Paul's parameters. He's definitely talking about marriage because he's talking about wives and husbands in verse 2. He's talking about monogamy, one wife and one husband. He's talking about each person recognizing that they're not just in charge of their own body, but that that body belongs to their spouse and they ought to take that serious. This is a physical representation of a spiritual truth from chapter 6. The spiritual truth is that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Then to articulate that, he brings it into the natural. But he's not trying to be heady. He's not trying to be metaphoric. He's dealing with a real boots-on-the-ground issue in Corinth. Sexuality, sexual immorality is running rampant. And Paul's solution, listen, you guys are the temple. You ought to act like it. You ought to respect your own body. But how about you try this? Monogamy, marriage, and elevate sexuality within marriage. This is one of the rare moments in the Bible. So the Bible, people think, because I get this, you get this impression from people when you talk about sex and the Bible, that the Bible is anti-sex. And that when it does talk about sex in a positive light, it's only to procreate. That the Bible doesn't have any references to sex between a husband and a wife for the mere enjoyment of it, of both it and one another. And I think they're wrong. I think part of the reason why we don't see it is because it's moments like these in 1 Corinthians 7 where Paul isn't out promoting sex within marriage as the theme of his topic, but he's using that theme to encourage the Corinthian believers away from a sexually immoral lifestyle. How else can you define, well, that's probably not the way to say it, but how else would you explain this stress in the 7th chapter on the importance of sex as part of the fabric of marriage? Because Paul says, don't deprive one another. Listen, wife doesn't have authority over her own body, her husband does. The husband doesn't have authority of his own body, the wife does. The husband needs to render to his wife the affection that she's due, and the wife needs to render to her husband the affection that he's due. Don't deprive one another. That phrase, don't deprive one another, seems to mean the other person has wants and needs, and therefore don't deprive them of their wants and needs. He does give this little caveat. I'll talk about the caveat in a second, but I want to get back to this thought that of this, the stressing the importance of sex as part of the fabric of marriage, and it's not simply and merely and only and exclusively for the purposes of procreation. So this is, Paul doesn't say anything here about sex to have children. He talks about it within the framework of deprivation, of one spouse being deprived of what they want and need. The author of Hebrews does something similar, and some people think Hebrews is Paul. Hebrews 13:4, marriage is honorable among all and the bed undefiled, but fornicators and adulterers God will judge. And so the author of Hebrews deals with three kinds of sexuality: adultery, fornication, marriage. The only one he calls honorable is marriage. That the marriage bed is honorable. That what happens in the marriage bed between whom? The one man and the one woman. That's sexuality that is honored and honorable by God and should be honored between the spouse, between spouses. The two that lie outside of the honorable purview, according to Hebrews 13:4, are fornication and adultery. Now, the author of Hebrews nor the Bible, neither the author of Hebrews nor the Bible argues that there's no enjoyment in fornication or adultery. Of course they don't argue that. That's the whole purpose that people do it. But the writer to Corinth, Paul, is telling you that outside of marriage, you're giving in to an accuser, Satan. How do we know? Watch verse 5. Don't deprive one another except with consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer. I'll talk about what I think that means. It's a contextual statement. And come together again so that Satan does not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. So there's some admissions by Paul. Admission number one, you have needs, physical, sexual urges and needs, and you need to meet those needs. Point number two, those needs are best met with your spouse. Point number three, you can meet those needs without your spouse. What would that be called? Fornication and adultery. That's that Hebrews 13:4 argument. What's the next point? The problem would be that meeting those needs outside of where your spouse is giving in to Satan, giving in to an accuser. What happens now? Now the accuser has equipment on you. He has something to use on you. This is sort of giving place to the devil. So why tell people not to commit fornication and adultery? Well, there's the natural reasons, because of all of the pain and heartache and problems that are going to come out of these natural unions that are really more than natural, they're spiritual. But that also you're going to walk into the accuser's trap, that they now have something to accuse you of, and it was all because of your lack of self-control. So don't deprive one another. What does this except for prayer and fasting mean? I want to, that'd be my last thing to deal with on this text. I told you yesterday we'd get into the whole concession, not commandment. I told you I'd try to do that yesterday. I didn't. I won't today either, but I will tomorrow. It's verse 5, 6. But let's sort of seal this thing off in verse 5. Middle of verse 5, he says, you guys, you can only consent yourself. Only deprive one another with consent, which means your spouse agrees that you're not going to sleep together, and only that for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer. I think the fasting and prayer falls within the present crisis of verse 26. They're in a present crisis, 26. The time is short, 29. The world's passing away, 31. There's a crisis in Corinth. There are famines and earthquakes. The form of the world's passing away. They know they're living in the last days. I think it's safe to say that some Christian couples are reading the signs of the times, the famines, the earthquakes, and they've decided to abstain from sex. And I think you could argue that it would have really been the only acceptable form of contraception. And they believed it would be awful to bring children into this disastrous end, of which Jesus in Matthew 24 said, pray that you're not pregnant when the flight from Jerusalem happens. And I think that would have been taken very serious. And so the early church, there became an argument, and there's been an argument on and off for 2,000 years about what is more blessed, to be single or to be married. And I think we can sort of give Paul's stance on that on the next couple of podcasts as well. I hope you're enjoying this. A little bit different kind of podcast the last few days. We're digging into a few deep concepts here, some things I don't normally get to talk about either. What's the point of calling it the Deeper Daily Podcast if not to go deeper? We'll deal with verse 6 tomorrow. I'll see you then. God bless.